Good evening. You can open your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 6. There you go. Isaiah chapter 6. I'll start reading from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Now I want to start by asking you a question. Are you at times discouraged to share your faith? Have you at times thought, well, what's the point? All people do is reject the word of God and they just continue to live as they please. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I say. I can't change a thing. The situation seems hopeless. So I want to ask you, what can possibly compel or drive you to go to a people like this and share the message of God? Well, hopefully you will see from God's amazing word what you can do. What will compel you? Hopefully, you will see from the call of the prophet Isaiah. We will see what compelled him to be faithful to the calling that God has called him to, even in the midst of discouragement. Lord willing, I hope to preach on this passage that I've just read within a month's time, the next time that I preach. Today's sermon will not be an exposition of one specific passage. But in today's sermon, I hope to set the scene so that we can better understand the call of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. If you like to, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And also Isaiah chapter 1. So you can leave it open there at Isaiah chapter 1. We will look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and Isaiah chapter 1 to 5. You see, the prophet Isaiah was called to his people in Isaiah chapter 6. But for now, I just want us to look at the situation or the state that the nation Judah was in when the prophet Isaiah was called. Today we will be setting the scene for the call of Isaiah so that we will take courage in our call as believers to a lost world. We will be setting the scene for the call of Isaiah so that we will take courage in our call as believers to a lost world. Isaiah's response in chapter 6 is a good example for us to look at. Isaiah knew that his ministry would be tough, but he was still able and still willing to fulfill his call. Now the first scene that we will look at is that of the king. And the second scene that we will look at is that of the nation. But let's take a look at the first scene, that of the king. Now just before Isaiah the prophet was called, Judah was ruled by King Uzziah, as we've just read in verse 1 of chapter 6. Uzziah was also called Azariah, so don't get confused if you read the name. Sometimes they mix it. Now, Uzziah, man, this king was an amazing king. He was a great king. In his time, he was probably one of the greatest kings after King Solomon. He was an amazing king. King Uzziah reigned from the age of 16 years. And he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. I mean, that is a long time. That is really a long time. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4 and 5. It reads, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to see God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him to fear in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You see, Isaiah feared God and he obeyed God and God made him prosper. It was as simple as that. As long as he feared God and obeyed God, God made him prosper. I mean, you didn't want to go up against this king, King Uzziah. He defeated all his enemies. And look at verse 8. It says, his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Everyone feared Uzziah. No one could stand against this king. You see, not because Uzziah was so great. I mean, he wasn't anything special, but because God was so great. Because God was behind Uzziah. Not only did Uzziah lead his people into victory after victory, but what this king did is he protected his people. Look at verse 9. It says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle, and he fortified them. This king made sure that no enemy could penetrate the city. I mean, what more do you want from a king? I mean, this king protected his people and he was good in the battle. I can tell you what more you want from a king. You want a king to provide for his people. And even that Uzziah did. Uzziah looked after his people. He made sure that his people had enough food to eat to keep them alive. Look at verse 10 of chapter 26. It says, he had large herds, both in the Shephelah and in the plain, and he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. This king was a great leader. I'm sure that President Robert Mugabe and many other leaders today, they can learn from this king. They can learn from Uzziah. Uzziah didn't only provide food for his people, but he had great weapons. I mean, this is an amazing king. The text actually says he had weapons of mass destruction. You'll see it now. If King Uzziah lived today, America would have already wanted to take him out. Long time ago. Look at chapter 26, 11 to 15. It says, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. And then listen to this. In Jerusalem, he made engines, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Amazing king. But you see, even though he had all the manpower, even though he had amazing weapons as we've just seen, who was it that helped Uzziah? It was God. Who made him strong? It was the Lord. Remember what we've read in verse 5 of the same chapter. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Brothers and sisters, we also need to realize that tonight. God is the reason we can do anything. God is the reason why we are what we are. And God is the reason why we have what we have. I want to ask you, do you think that you deserve an education? To all the students here, do you think you deserve an education? Do you think that you deserve a family, a mom, a dad, brothers and sisters? Do you think that you deserve a job? We don't deserve anything. If there's one thing that you and I deserve, it is eternal punishment. That is what all men deserve. We don't deserve anything else. Everything that we have, and I mean everything that we have, is all because of God's
grace, everything. It is sad. We see that man goes out and man works hard week in, week out, and man buys lots of stuff, cars and lots of stuff, and he loads his bank account. And then what happens? Man becomes proud. Man sits back and he thinks, wow, look at what I have done. Look at what I achieved. We sit back and we look at all these things and we become proud. Just like Uzziah got proud. Now what happened to King Uzziah? You see, Uzziah became proud like we often become proud. He thought that he was invincible. He thought that the people just couldn't go without him. He thought that he was the reason for their great military position. He thought that he was untouchable. And he thought that he could even go against God's commands. Look at chapter 26, verse 16. Look at verse 16. It says, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Uzziah clearly disobeyed God's command. Why? Because Uzziah wanted to do what only the divinely appointed priests were allowed to do. But when the priest came and they confronted him, do you know what he did? He got angry at the priest. I mean, who are you, priest, to tell me what to do? I am King Uzziah, the King of Kings. He got angry. One stupid act of pride. And the proud was humbled. God struck him with leprosy. God could have and God should have killed him for his arrogance. But God, even in God's punishment of Uzziah, was gracious towards him. God only struck him with leprosy. Look at verse 21. It says, King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, he lived in a separate house. I mean, what a sad story. This is the same amazing King Uzziah, now a leper. It's a sad story. Look at this tragic fall of this amazing king. Now, with the call of Isaiah in chapter 6, as we've read, it says that Isaiah was called in the year that King Uzziah, this amazing king, died. In that year, he was called. Now, do you think the country mourned the death of that king? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they mourned for days. You see, not only did this king Uzziah lift himself up, but the people also lifted him up. It is easy for us to place our trust in man and then think that man is so great and forget that it is God who is behind man. Whether it is in pastors, whether it is in elders, we need to remember that it is God who is behind these great men. The king who reigned for 52 years died. When the king died, the nation's sense of security was gone. It is crucial for us to see who King Uzziah is for when we come to Isaiah chapter 6 next time that I preach. Now, that is the king. We've looked at the king. That's the first scene. Now let's take a look at the nation. If you think the king's story was sad, look at the nation's story. The second scene, the nation. You see, politically and militarily, the nation prospered under the king Uzziah. But how do you think they did spiritually? When people or even nation prospers in all aspects of life, often the spiritual side is neglected. Often the spiritual side, when everything goes well, the spiritual side is often neglected. When we have money, when we have a job, when we have family, when we have friends, then who cares about the spiritual? I mean, we've got everything that we need right now. We often neglect that which is most important, and that is our spiritual welfare. In chapters 1 to 5, of Isaiah, It shows Judah's spiritual depravity. Now remember, this was the people that Isaiah was called to speak to. People who were depraved. You see, their will and their mind, their emotions were totally corrupt. These people were totally sinful. I mean, this sounds like the people that we are called to witness to, isn't it? People who are lost. People who are in need of salvation. People who are in need of rebirth. We are called to those people. Chapter 1 of Isaiah shows that Judah has rebelled against God. They are a sinful nation who don't know their God. God reveals himself to them so that they may know him, and yet they do not know their God. Look at verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 1. It says, God is saying that even an ox or a donkey knows its owner, but Judah does not know their owner. I mean, you understand this, right? Your dog knows its owner. Your dog knows its owner. Except for the Van Rensburg's dogs. For those of you who know that story, the Van Rensburg's dogs migrated. But they said that it's not their fault. So they know their new owner. But normally, an ox, an animal, a dog knows its owner. I mean, it just makes sense. But Judah, God's people, they have forsaken their God. They have forsaken the God who provides for them. They have forsaken the God of their fathers. Is this the first time that they've forsaken God? It's not. Over and over, they have forsaken God. They have rebelled in the past, and God has punished them. And then God has shown them grace. But what did they do? They throw God's grace back into his face. You know, it's easy when you speak of them and point fingers at them. But how many times have we thrown God's grace back into his face? How many times do we drag God's name through the mud? How often does God have to strike us so that we can fully commit our lives to God? You see, the nation was spiritually sick. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 5 to 6. They were totally sick. It says, why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. You see, Judah is compared to an open, raw wound. But despite their true spiritual condition, Judah seemed so spiritual. They seemed so spiritual. Outwardly, they had all the right things. But inwardly, their hearts were far from worship. Actually, what they think is worship is actually hated by God. What they actually think is worship before God is actually hated by God. I want to read to you Isaiah 1, 11 to 15. Listen to this. God is saying, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of your well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. God saying, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That is God's response to their hypocrisy. They loved religion, just like people today love religion. People love to bring sacrifices. People love to come to church. People love giving. People love reaching out to others. But they are heartless worshippers because the hearts are far from it. You see, God doesn't delight in our sacrifices if it is separated from a life of worship. We need to understand this. Don't give. Don't come to church. And don't serve the Lord if you're not serious about living a godly life. Worship is not just on Sundays. Worship is not just when you... It's a life of worship. We need to serve. Please, don't get me wrong. We need to serve. We need to come to church. And we need to give. But it must be done out of a true love for God and a true love for others. See, Judah, this nation, they worshipped God their way. And God hated it. He couldn't take it. You and I, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that we must worship God His way. We can't worship God our way. God is very specific in what He requires of us. He requires a life of worship. You see, they were doing all these things, yet there were blood on their hands. They were hypocrites, and God hates hypocrites. God hates it, and we see it. We see that Jesus Christ hated hypocrites. If it wasn't enough that they worshiped God their way, they also wanted to worship God plus something else. They wanted to serve God and something else. But we know that the Word of God says that God hates it. There's no way that we can serve God and something else. God said in Exodus 20 that you shall have no other gods before me. Why? Because the Lord your God is a jealous God. But what did Judah do? What did this nation do? Look at Isaiah 2 verse 8. It says, their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. This nation has allowed idol worship to continue in Judah. They left it like a dead dog, thinking that the rotten smell won't affect them. But eventually, it does affect. Instead of influencing the other nations, they were now being conformed to the rest of the world. This is what happened. Judah should have responded like King Josiah. I don't know who of you know King Josiah. King Josiah just lived a few years later. Now, Josiah, listen to what 2 Kings 23:25 says about this king. Listen to this. It says, before him, that's speaking of Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. Josiah was an amazing king. But what did he do? What did he do? At the age of 20, the age of many of you around here, maybe about 20, 21, but at the age of 20, this young king was passionate about the Word of God. And you know what he did? He destroyed all the high places, and he destroyed all the idols. This is what that king did. I like this. Listen to 2 Chronicles 34, verse 7. It says, he broke down the altars and beat the Asherim and the images into powder. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I love this. He beat the images. He beat it to powder. I mean, this guy was serious about God. That is how you deal with idols in your life. It's also said that he even burned the priests who offered to these sacrifices. You see, he was serious about God. And that is how one responds to idols that try and take God's place in your life. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, whatever it is, if it is friendships, if it is alcohol, if it is money, whatever it is, be like Josiah and beat it to pieces. Don't be like Judah. Don't be like Judah and leave it in your midst. Deal with these idols in your life. Chapter 5 of Isaiah starts with a song, but eventually it ends in darkness. Just bad news for Judah. So what will ultimately happen? What will happen if people forsake God? You see, morally and socially, they will go off the track if people forsake God. And that is what happened. Judah's people, their leaders became corrupt. They became self-seeking. No one cared about the needy anymore. No one cared about the widow. No one cared about the orphan anymore. Everyone lived for themselves. But do you see this? Do you see this around us? This is the nation that we live in. We live in a nation where the leaders fly in their jets. They wear their fancy suits. They live in their mansions, yet the needy die every day. But the most shocking of all is that many churches look no different. Many churches look no different. The church is slowly conforming to the morally corrupt world. But we are called to be different. We must be different. Our church, our shepherds, our leaders need to be different than this world. The people in Judah, they took bribes and misled people. The rich abused the poor, and they just got wealthier. People were proud and arrogant, and they loved to get drunk. Do you see this around us in our country? People loving to get drunk? I mean, this is what happened in Judah. People were seeking pleasure. I mean, do you see this today? We can clearly see this. It is amazing how applicable God's word is. That description of the leaders of Judah, that is a description of you and that is a description of me if it wasn't for the grace of God. I know that my heart leaned towards all these things. I know it did. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where I would have been. Spiritually, morally, and socially, Judah was in a mess. And that, remember, that is the people that Isaiah was called to witness to. People in that situation. Now I want to ask you, are you willing to go out to your family, to your friends, to your people, your nation? Are you willing to go out to people like that? People who are no different than the nation Judah, if you just look at all those examples that we've seen. Even though God is a God of hope, and even though there is hope for the nation Judah, sin must be judged. Sin must be judged. We know that sin must be judged. Your sin needs to be judged. God will be unfair if God just overlooks your sin. He will be unfair. God has to judge your sins. But there's hope. There's a way out. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will take the punishment on our behalf. It's a free gift. He will do that for us. We just need to take it. And then, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then give your life completely to God in gratitude for what He has done. In God placing His Son and punishing His Son in your place. In response to that, give your life to God. I close with this. Listen to what God said to Judah through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 1, verse 18 to 20. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." This is amazing. God will do that for Judah. God will do that for you. But then the verse continues, and there's a condition. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good land. But if you refuse and if you rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God is saying, listen to my words. I'm coming with salvation. Listen to these words. Eat them up. Because if you do not eat them up and if you do not accept these words, you will be eaten up. You will be judged. People, don't reject the salvation that God brings. God comes and He brings salvation. Don't throw it back in His face. Because there will be a time of judgment. Don't be like Judah. Don't be like this nation. Now remember, that is the situation as Isaiah is called in Isaiah chapter 6. That is the situation. This amazing king Uzziah, awesome king, died. And the nation, they're just in a terrible, terrible spiritual state. But Isaiah has courage to go to his people and to fulfill the ministry that God has given him because of what has taken place in Isaiah chapter 6, which we will get to sometime. But I just want to ask you, and I want to plead with you, to go out and fulfill the calling that God has given you. Go out and share God's message of salvation with people who are lost. Let's just pray. Father, we just come and we just stand in awe of you. And Lord, we just, when we look at the call of Isaiah and just the state of that the nation was in, Lord, we see this amazing vision that he had when he saw the true Lord high and lifted up. Lord, the king Uzziah died, the one who lifted himself up. And Isaiah saw the one king lifted up, the one king holy, the holy God. Father, I just pray that we would not see the holy God and just turn our backs and rebel against you. Father, let us grab the salvation that you offer to us. Father, and let's just go share that amazing good news with the lost world out there. Father, we look at all the sins that this nation has committed, and Lord, and we look at our own lives and we realize that, Lord, we have committed many of these sins. Lord, but thank you. Thank you for your grace. You come and you show us grace upon grace. And Lord, sorry, forgive us, Lord, for the times that we have thrown that grace back into your face. But Lord, we want to accept your salvation. Lord, we know that you can cleanse us. And Lord, we just need to confess our sins. And you are faithful to forgive us our sins. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these amazing kings. And Lord, thank you for the prophet Isaiah. And Lord, just thank you that we can learn so much from your word and just go out and Lord, just live differently. Lord, we want to live a life of worship. We don't just want to come and worship you on Sunday, Lord. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to give. We want to come to church. Lord, we want to do it out of a heart of worship. We don't want to do it because we have to. We don't want to do it because our parents force us. We don't want to come, Lord, because we think that we can just get good marks from you. Because, Lord, we can never earn your favor. Lord, it is a free gift. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I just want to pray that you would be with everyone during this week. Lord, that you would, Lord, make us aware of the sin and the sins in our lives. And, Lord, that we would live different lives. And, Lord, we thank you once again for your Son, your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. Your Son, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And Father, we thank you for that free gift that you give us. And we thank you for that in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.